Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joined right before IndyCar practice by Alex Albon, who got to sit in one of the Dale Coyne cars a couple minutes ago. What's it like being in Indianapolis first off, and how'd the car feel?
Good. I mean, feels pretty much like in any single seater, but nice to obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, any seat is pretty cool to be inside. It's quite cool because, you know, Red Bull, we designed the aero shields, and they work really well. I was surprised how how good the visibility is. So it was nice, obviously, also to catch up with Roman, see how he is, and see how he enjoys the IndyCar circus.
What did he have to say about IndyCar? Anything that maybe you didn't expect that he said?
Not too much. I mean, I followed it a long time.
Yeah.
Since I've been a kid, so I know more or less how the championship works. Just the he said the cars are really heavy. He said make sure you go to the gym if you come join the series. And he enjoys it, I think, firstly because obviously the competition is strong throughout the field, and also you can see he's happy. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. Everyone is very open, and he enjoyed that about it, which obviously in F1, maybe it's not quite there, but also just because you've got 100 people for one car, then you don't really ever.
It's just a different act, different thing.
Different thing, exactly. So, it was interesting to hear his opinion about it, because obviously it's something which, you know, I've come here just casually to see if it's something I would like to do, and to hear people like Roman hear his thoughts about it, to see if it's something I would consider.
Have you gotten to talk to any non-Dale Coyne drivers so far? I know where it's only 2:30 on a Friday afternoon here, so
I've literally only just arrived, so I've seen a few people just a wave thing, but no one.
Well, I'll keep it quick here. I've just got one more. Your thoughts on the F1 championship? Can your former teammate Max Verstappen rebound and pull it out this year? Does he have what it takes?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, I would hope he would say that, just in case.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously working flat out. I do a lot of simulator work for this year's car, and you know, it's one of them things where I think to be in that championship fighting battle, it's really exciting for everyone, just also especially for us as a team, to be able to fight against Mercedes, and Max has got that fight. I think Lewis does too. I mean, you see he's going down to the wire in every race. You think they're going to crash, so it's brewing. Hopefully it goes down to the last race, and hopefully we're the ones that come out on top.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, I appreciate a few minutes as we're literally walking in between the garages here, but good luck, and hope to see you somewhere next year.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Next up, we're joined by Ryan Eversley, NASCAR this weekend, IMSA some weekends.
Most weekends.
SRO coaching some weekends. You do a little bit of everything. And we were talking before we were recording. I can't keep what day it is straight. Do you have a loud NASCAR? I know you have a loud NASCAR, but how do you keep it all straight and still get everything done?
Seat in my pants most of the time. I mean, thank God for like Google Calendars and syncing of iPhones and all that stuff. Because like, I literally will get like, you know, an email or like a notification. It's like rental car tomorrow. I'm like, oh, that means I'm going somewhere. Good.
And then it's a place
like,
to be.
You know what I mean? So it's just like technology is a real big help when it comes to traveling as much as we all do, but it's tough, man. But like I always say, like, feast or famine in the sport, you got to get it all while you can. You got to store away all your nuts for winter, and hopefully you can keep busy. And if you're not busy in the sport, it's not a good sign. So I complain about being tired, but I'd rather be that than at home hoping the phone's gonna ring. So it's all good.
I agree. All right, so you're driving in Jordan Anderson's
JD Motorsports.
JD Motorsports, thank you.
Even I'm like,
nobody knows what's going on anymore. We're trying here, guys. We don't don't usually cover NASCAR, so we don't even know most of the team names.
Play a fun game later while I try to pick out people that I don't know.
Red 6. That's like my car's red number 6.
Red number 6, okay. Ryan's in the red number 6. We're learning on the fly here what we all are. Have you driven this course before in IMSA or anything? Do you have any idea what to expect going into practice, which starts about an hour and a half from now?
Yeah, I raced the first IMSA race they had here.
Okay.
I guess it was Grand-Am at the time. But back in like 2010 or 11, and that's when we ran the oval for turn, like the last turn on the front straight was the oval, and that was awesome. That was really cool to be able to do that. And then we came up with this really dumb chicane for some reason that we used in the last corner, and it's just like, just ruins it. Because like, Indy's a famous speedway.
Yeah.
You should want to be on the speedway, you know?
Yeah.
So, so I've ran that layout, which is a lot of the current layout, and then last couple of years I've come here with Ferrari Challenge, coaching a couple clients. And so you drive their cars quite a bit. So I drove here last year in a car that probably, in theory, is a lot faster around here than these cars are because the brakes on a sports car are just so much more efficient. I kind of know the layout. And having raced here enough, it doesn't feel like anything unusual. So I'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly, I think.
So obviously, stock car is quite a bit heavier than pretty much every car that, IndyCar, IMSA, for the most part. What challenges does that present to you who's used to an IMSA car for the most part?
Well, I think if you're a top-level sports car driver, you have to get there by driving a lot of different stuff. You know, like on any given weekend, I could be in, a GT car, a front-wheel drive car, now a stock car, apparently. So you kind of get all these little experiences, and you get used to dealing with the different weights and the different ways they put the power down. So I think that makes guys like myself, more like Andy and Spencer, Mike Skeen, those guys drive all sorts of stuff as well. So I think we're all really good at adapting to whatever the car is. But it's still a learning curve. And I always tell people when they ask about NASCAR drivers being good or not, I'm like, if you're driving this car all the time on ovals, you're going to be more proficient using it than I am on a road course if you're one of the top guys. So you look at like a Justin Allgaier, that guy's been racing these things for forever. And he's super fast. So a road course might not be his forte, but he knows the car like the back of his hand. So he's able to get downshifting probably better than I am. He's more aware of what the braking capability is going to be than I am. So it makes the top guys in that series really, really hard to beat. But, it's still got four tires, a steering wheel, and a brake pedal, and a gas pedal, and I can figure that out.
It's not the first time today we've heard somebody use that exact sentence.
Honestly, that's what it comes down to. Like, people are like, man, do you think you could drive an Indy car? I'm like, I know I could drive an Indy car. I might not be awesome at it, but I'm going to get it around the track.
At least make it go.
Yeah, so I was really happy with how I did in my NASCAR Cup debut a few weeks ago at Road America, and I knew that track really well. I'd never even driven that car down pit lane before.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
And I was able to get a decent result out of it. So
yeah.
I think, or at least I was able to get decent speed out of it, I should say. So I think you know, same thing here, just kind of see what the car will give me. I'm leaning on my friends Andy and Spencer, who have driven these cars a bunch now, and Mike Skeen as well. So, you know, I have the same attitude I had at Road America here. I want to enjoy this. If I leave on Sunday going, oh, it wasn't fast enough, then I kind of miss the point of like, hey, you're doing a one-off Xfinity race. Like, enjoy that.
Right, so, have fun with it.
Exactly right. So
don't crash the car, but have fun with it.
If I don't make the race, I get to get home earlier and have a whole Saturday night off in Atlanta. Wow. If I do make the race, I get to race a NASCAR. So it's like, it's all good.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Yeah, yeah.
So you did race the NASCAR recently. Now you're in Xfinity. Does that give you a little bit more confidence, at least, you know, going into the weekend, that you're not going in totally blind like you were a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I'd probably be a bit more nervous if I hadn't done the Cup race, you know, because I wouldn't even know how these things accelerate or decelerate, how the gearing and all that stuff is. But honestly, I'm like totally fine. It's like I'm looking forward to doing it. My only, like, I have to qualify into the race to make it. So my hope is that I can do that, because these guys came to race and get points and prize money and all that. And it, you know, you want to do well. But if I don't make it, I'm going to try. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm not nervous at all, actually. I'm just kind of like, all right, let's go play with race cars. That's kind of how I feel. I'd be more nervous about my races, because I'm like, this is how I make my living. This is what I'm known for, my reputation. No one's expecting me to win this thing, so why don't I just go enjoy it and see what we get?
Absolutely. So I was told to ask you a question, and I don't have any idea what this is going to give me.
Yeah, just go ahead.
But I'm supposed to ask you about Yoshi.
Yeah. And you don't know why?
No! Okay. Yeah, I didn't want to tell me why.
So I have the coolest car in the world. Like, you can drive an NSX Acura, that's fine. Yeah, you can have your Lambo, your Ferrari, whatever. I have the coolest car in the world. More women who have come up to me about my van named Yoshi, which is a 1991 Honda Acty. It is a micro car, it's a K car in Japan, teeny tiny, and I've wrapped it to look like Ayrton Senna's 91 Formula One car, and it's got Dinner with Racers all over it. But I've driven supercars all over the country, and mostly you get dudes coming up going like, hey, what is that? Anytime I drive Yoshi, I've got women like, oh my God, it's so cute. And I'm like, oh my God, thanks. It's my van.
This
cool.
is my van.
Like, can I go for a ride in your van? I'm like, sounds creepy, but in this case, it's
does
not.
Does it have windows?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So,
that's all that really matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Can see
so, yeah, Yoshi is my Honda Acty. I just drove it around for like a week last week in Atlanta. And like probably 10 different people tried to buy it off of me. Like, hey, what do you want for it? I'm like, not for sale. Like, not for sale. So,
do you know how I pick up chicks with this
I'm
thing?
Like, dude, this is like all I got. That's all I got. So, no, I love driving my little van around. But my van's name is Yoshi. It's Japanese,
funny.
So
yeah.
It's adorable.
That could have gone either way.
Yeah.
That was way safe way.
Yeah, right. No, it's an adorable car I get to drive. Yeah. So.
We have loud race cars in the background again.
Yeah, AJ Allmendinger over here sticking up the show.
What a jerk.
Yeah, you're busy, you got a racer.
We're trying to do stuff over here.
Trying to do an interview.
All right, we will wrap it up there since guys are getting ready for practice here. But best of luck, man, and we're pulling for you to make the race. There's 44 cars for 36 spots, so we'll be watching.
Yeah, I was told if I get in the top 30, then we'll be okay, so I'm just going to go. Here's the thing. These tires are super soft and squishy, and they go away, like, immediately. So my first lap in practice, I'm going to go really slowly all the way around, and I'm going to do a flying, like, mock qualifier on my first lap, because that'll be the best number you can get out of it. And then after that, it's like, all right, let's see what this thing's like.
Do you get multiple qualifying attempts, or is it one and done?
Like I said, the tire, it falls off so bad that you can keep going, but like, you're not gonna go
quicker.
You only
get one set of tires to qualify?
Yeah, So this session, my first lap will be my one attempt at like, let's see how fast we go. Which, I mean, I'll screw it up in flat spot. I'll be like an idiot. But that's like how you get the number.
Yeah.
And then that's something I learned at Road America. And then after that, I'll be like, let's just drive around, see what we got.
Yeah.
But tomorrow morning, we qualify and pretty much one lap. Try not to screw it up too much. So it'll be fun. That's my race.
Nice red car coming by here. All right, man. Well, thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!